Well, good early morning. When your faith grows tired from the challenges and troubles. So if you're tired this morning, would you just raise your hand? The rest of you got a good night's sleep, I guess. But listen, there are a lot of things in life that just really make us tired. And I'm not just talking about tired. I mean stress and fatigue, really to a point of burnout. Burnout is just this extreme weariness where all of our faculties, I mean our mind, our body, our spirit, we're just depleted. Sometimes that happens a lot in pastorship. That happens a lot in ministry because it's constant. It happens a lot in healthcare, nurses and doctors, because it's constant all the time. It happens a lot with moms that maybe with children, several children. Sometimes they're sick for extended periods of time. You know, it just happens when we just are going and going and going and going, and it seems there's no relief. It seems like there's no break. It seems like there's nothing. And we feel sometimes like, what are we doing all this for? We're not seeing any results of it. It's just go, 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 go. And the hardest thing is for us to actually admit that something's wrong. That either our schedule's out of whack or we're trying to carry everybody else's burden. Listen, it'll wear you out when you try to carry everybody else's burden. I know that firsthand. It's a fact. You deal with your own issues, but you're now dealing with other people's issues too. Maybe it's your children, maybe it's your parents, maybe whatever, grandparents, whatever. And it's just like it just doesn't stop. You just want to break. I believe most Christians can identify with that to some level and some extreme. Some have learned how to work through it and take their times of rest. The biggest problem is we don't rest enough. And we try to be a yes person rather than saying no to some things. You know, there's a great theological thing that we need to do, and it's called say no. It's not hard, but it's hard for us sometimes because everybody wants us, you know. I've always heard retired people, well, they have all the time work. Let me tell you what, most retired people I find are working harder retired than they are not retired. Because everybody thinks they have plenty of time to do, so they pile things on them. Maybe you're like that today. Maybe you're tired. We'll look at a passage of Scripture this morning. Read about a man who had done so much for God, and he was just burnt out. Let's see how God responds to him. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. I don't know where Matthew 22 came from. First Kings 19. Wayne Muller said this. He says, because we do not rest, we lose our way. Poisoned by this hypnotic belief that good things come only through unceasing determination and tireless effort. We can never truly rest. And for the want of rest, our lives are in danger. Burnout. It happens when we don't take care of ourselves. And we don't stop. And we keep running for everybody else. Listen, this message is for every person, whether you're tired and burnt out right now, or you may be next week or next year. This is a message as Christians we need to learn. Oftentimes, Sunday, you know what the Sabbath is? The Sabbath is a day of rest. God rested on that day to set the example for us to rest. And what Sunday has become is running, running, running. It's not a day of rest. You run too much and it'll catch up with you. You'll end up in the hospital. You'll end up sick after one thing, after the next, and after the next, after the next, simply by doing too much and not following what God's principle says that you need to rest. As we look at the background of this passage in 1 Kings, Israel was under the rule of King Ahab. King Ahab was an evil king, and he and Jezebel were in cahoots together. And Jezebel, just by that very name, you kind of know that she wasn't a nice chick. People, he led the people away from following God to following Baal. And all the Lord's altars had been torn down in Israel, and the place of worship, they were all gone. The prophets were killed, and Elijah was the only one left. Elijah, by God's word, had said that there was going to be a famine and a drought upon the land for 3 years. And King Ahab was angry, so he got mad at Elijah and wanted to kill him. So Elijah kind of stayed on the run for a while. This cave, that country, he was gone all the time. And they never could find him. And one day, he called Obadiah. Obadiah was in the king's house, and he met Obadiah, and he said, "Tell the king, King Ahab, I want to talk to him." And so he sends a word to King Ahab and said, "Listen, you get your prophets of Baal together, and I want to challenge them. And whoever wins the challenge, that's the God you follow." King Ahab couldn't believe that here he was. Elijah was actually kind of turning himself in. But he did it. So 450 prophets of Baal. Here was the challenge. He said, "You build an altar, Baal, to your God." He said, "We'll both sacrifice a calf and we'll put on there. You build your altar with wood, everything that you want on your altar. And then you start calling down to your God, Baal. You start calling fire down and burn up that altar. Catch it on fire for you." He said, "I'll build an altar to God, Jehovah God. And we'll do the same." So that day, as it progressed, those 450 prophets of Baal began to put their altar together, and they slaughtered the oxen, they put it on there, and from early morning till midday to that afternoon, they cried out and danced around the altar, and they began to mutilate themselves, cut themselves, to get Baal to respond, their pagan gods to respond. Of course, Elijah was over there taunting them. You know, "Well, maybe he's asleep. Well, maybe he's away on vacation. Maybe he just didn't hear you. Maybe he's in deep thought. Do you really have a God?" You know, he's just taunting them. All the way up to the evening sacrifice, and the evening sacrifice time came for the Jews. Elijah went over, and he put the stones together and built the altar back, and he got some to help him get some firewood very quickly, and they put the sacrifice on the altar. And he stepped forth and he prayed this. He says, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." And the Lord sent fire down from heaven. Fire down. Listen, the altar that Elijah had built, he even built a moat around it, a trench around it, and got them to pour water, which was very, very scarce then because they were under a drought, began to pour water in there and soaked everything. And when the fire from God came down, it consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the very ground, and lapped up all the water. People ran to Elijah, and their hearts were immediately turned back to God. He said, "Now, go kill those 450 prophets of Baal." Why did he do that? To cleanse the land, to get rid of the pagan worship out of Israel. And he told Ahab, he said, "You go get ready." He said, "Rain's going to fall now." This is where we pick up the story. In chapter 19. Because there was someone that wasn't real happy about her prophets being killed. Her name was Jezebel. Chapter 19, verse 1 says, "Now Ahab, told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. And Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. Women. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. 'I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors.' Then he lay down under the bush, and fell asleep. And all at once, an angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.' He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. And he ate and drank, and then he lay back down. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, 'Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.' So he got up and he ate and drank, and strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' In verse 10, he replied, 'I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too.' The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. The Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' Elijah replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me.' And the Lord said, 'Go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you're there, anoint Hazael king over Aram.'" Let's pray together. Father God, today we need rest. God, your people are so tired. Their schedules are so busy. They pile things in. People pile things in for them. And oftentimes it feels like all we do is run. We run from work. We run from family obligations. We run to ballparks and football fields and soccer fields and, Lord, the softball and baseball, Lord, we just run, we run, and we go, and we go. And, Lord, we're just exhausted. And God, what happens is we're drained of so much energy that we can't do the things that you really need us to do. Father, today, speak to us through your word. Show us how in our own personal life, just speak to us in that small, still voice, how to, in our own situation, Lord, to find rest and to be refreshed and replenished. In Jesus' name, amen. So you think about this. Elijah had just called fire down from God on the earth, and he consumed the evening sacrifice. He was spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically exhausted. He had been on a run for 3 years from King Ahab, hiding wherever he could hide, eating whatever he could eat, and then he had to stand up for this challenge that God had given. Remember, there was a drought for 3 years going on. Elijah was living in the drought also. going through all of this time and then having this wonderful, you know, revival experience where fire falls from heaven. I've been in great revivals, but fire hasn't fallen from heaven yet. I can imagine that was a show. That was amazing to see what God did at that altar. But then one word came to him from one mad queen threatening his life, and he ran like a coward. How he faced 450 men and killed them all with swords. He just stood there and saw God do this amazing thing, but he was so physically drained that one threat against him personally sent him for a run. Let's see some of the effects that fatigue had on him, Elijah. See, fatigue is the extreme weariness resulting from intense mental, physical, emotional, or spiritual exertion, or maybe all of those. Verse 2 and 3 says, "So Jezebel sent the message to Elijah, 'May the gods strike me and even kill me, if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you, just as you killed them.' Elijah was afraid, and he fled for his life." The first thing we need to look at is that because of Elijah's extreme tiredness, because of his fatigue, because of his burnout, he became fearful. He became scared. Why would one woman's threat even bother him? He just saw what God could do, and God's protecting him. He was God's person. He was God's man. Why would one threat come against him, scare him? Because he was exhausted. He had nothing left to give. You see, he just followed God's command and destroyed all those things, but he was just so worn down that he couldn't think. He was exhausted. He felt that he had no fight left in him. Listen, his faith was bankrupt because so many withdrawals in such a small amount of time and no deposits. You think about all he had done for 3 years, and yes, he was God's person, but listen, he was not doing the things that he needed to do to take care of himself, and he became exhausted. And one little small thing sent him over and sent him running. So maybe you this morning, you feel your faith bank has been drained by the struggles and challenges that you faced. In reality, you are fatigued, you're really tired, you're burnt out from the long battles that have drained you. It's just depleted all of your energy, and you've done nothing to replenish it. How many times people take vacations, they come back more tired than they left because they filled up their vacation? Well, we're going to go see this cave, we'll go see this mountain, we're going to go see over here, we're at the beach, and we're going to do this and this and this, and they've never rested. It was just go, 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 go. Oh, we're going to get away for the weekend. And you crowd your weekend up with doing stuff rather than resting. Sometimes we keep our cell phone on when we go on vacation and we're answering calls about job and about work while we're on vacation. You just spend a lot of money for nothing. Go to work. Man, you face challenges after challenges, illness after illness, trouble after trouble. Some of your own. Oftentimes, others bring them to you. Goodness. Maybe this morning you're simply spent of all energy. And that has affected your faith, because now when you would normally cry out to God and say, "God, I know you, I trust you, this is going to be all right, this is going to be fine," you're just burnt. And your faith bank has come empty. And I believe that's what happened to Elijah. You just saw 6 weeks prior to this, you saw God do something wonderful and fire fell from heaven. Well, it was actually a couple of days at this time. And you saw that wonderful thing, and now he's running away because of a threat. He was exhausted. He had no more fight left in him. You see what's amazing from this pulpit is I look into your eyes and I see some of you have no fight left in you. You won't admit it to yourself, but I see it. You're exhausted. The next big crisis is going to send you in a tailspin. Next situation that comes up is going to send you rolling down a hill. Because Elijah was exhausted, the second thing we see, he wanted to give up and get out. You ever been there? You just wanted to give up and get out? We see in verse 4 and 5, says, Then he, being Elijah, went alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. He said, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. For I'm no better than my ancestors who've already died. Listen, he was so depleted of energy. He was so gone. He just wanted out. Take me now, Lord. How many people are 35, 40, 50, 60 years old? Just, take me, Lord. Oh, I'm ready to go anytime. And they're saying it not because they're anxious to get to heaven, but they're really just wanting to get away from the things that's going on in their life. Problematic things, stressful things. See, Elijah was tired and fearful and wanted out, even if it meant for the Lord to take him. Elijah had no energy to carry on with his life and continue the battles he was facing. Now, there are people listening to this message, listen, and you are tired of the struggle, that you are ready to give up. You just want out because it seems so easy. You just have nothing left to offer. Been there. Still here. You see, rest assured. Listen, God is not finished with you. He's still building you up. Yes, life is unfair, and you're often the one caught up in other people's situations that are just wearing you out. It's time to be honest with yourself that you can't do all things for other people. Know's a good word. As long as you keep trying, they'll keep dumping it on you. I've learned this. As long as you keep trying and you keep telling people yes, they'll keep coming back to you. They'll keep, and you're struggling with your own self, and you're struggling with things in your own family, and you're struggling with things in your own job or education, and they're coming to you with their stuff. And you keep saying yes. That's called codependency. There's a group for that on Friday nights. And it helps, it really does, because you don't want anybody to be upset with you. You want everyone to like you. And since you want everyone to like you, you keep telling them yes, but you're killing yourself doing it. As long as you keep telling people yes, they'll keep coming, and you'll still be miserable. And it's draining every ounce of energy out of you. The third thing we also see in verse 5 that Elijah passed out. Listen, he didn't just go take a nap. The dude passed out. He was so tired, he couldn't continue. He literally passed out. Exhaustion overwhelmed Elijah, and his physical and mental faculties could not keep him moving, so he slept. Maybe for you, the worry, the stress, fatigue, and doing all these things and working through life issues has simply overwhelmed you. And the most spiritual thing you need to do is take a nap and take some sleep. Why not? Because there's a time. You know what? Pastors struggle with this. We get days off, but most time they don't turn into days off. I take Friday and Saturday are my days off, and most time I'm doing something ministry-wise, and it's hard to unwind out of that. That was one of the things we talk about in seminaries. How do you turn off? Because there's so many expectations on you. And there's always ministry to be done. And maybe in your life, that's the thing. You have children to take care of and grandkids to take care of, and you have this and you have that. And it's like you never can turn off. But you have to. Turn it off. go to bed, get some rest. Because if you don't, you're not functioning the way God created you to function. You're just struggling. You're just trying to gasp for a little bit of air. It's kind of like a drowning person just coming up. That's all you're doing. But when you get that opportunity to rest, listen, it is a spiritual thing to rest. God designed it in the way He created us, to get sleep for this body, for this mind, for this soul, to replenish, get some sleep. Those who are taking a nap this afternoon will say amen to that. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, rest time is not waste time. It is economy to gather fresh strength. It is wisdom to take occasional furlough. In the long run, we shall do more by sometimes doing less. How many times you get a day off and you fill it up doing things around your house? You fill it up thinking, well, I got to get this done and this done and this done and this done. No. Best thing you can do, sleep a couple hours later. Go to bed a little earlier. Take an afternoon nap. The second thing we see from this passage is that there are provisions that God gives to Elijah, but also to us. The Lord met Elijah's immediate need of food and water and to replenish his physical body. We see in verse 5 and 6, all at once the angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And he looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and he drank, and he lay down again. God met the physical needs of Elijah by allowing him to sleep and sending an angel with some bread baked over hot coals and some water. Elijah, listen, got a good night's sleep, and he had plenty to eat. And you know what he did? He went back to sleep. Most of us was going, well, I'm ready to go now. Let's go. No, he went back to sleep. God continued to meet the needs that he had. Verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat. For the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and he drank. Listen, strengthened by the food now and by the rest, he had plenty of energy now to run 40 days and 40 nights to the Mount Horeb. Listen, when we are exhausted, we must take time to nourish our body and our mind and our soul. We need to be still and quiet our souls down. Take time to refresh. Yes, we need to eat some good food. Amen, Brother Kevin. All right. We need to rest and we need to eat. Listen, God provided for him. And God will provide for us if we'll just stop long enough for it. Just stop long enough. So in other words, God's not saying just take a two-hour nap, you know, eat a granola bar and get back after it. No, he said, you need to take some time for yourself. I'll meet you there. I'll supply what you need, but you have to take the step to shut down. Just to shut down. There's no shame in shutting down to rest. And to have good food. You know, so many people have their days off and they simply work on it. The Sabbath was established for man to rest and worship. We have to this routine Sabbath where we rest rather than fill our days up with so many activities. Listen, we must just let our minds, our bodies refresh, rest, and replenish. God will meet us if we just stop for a little while. Quit chasing after this. Listen, our kids can get into all kinds of activities. We may need to just limit them. It's okay. Just limit them. There's some things that you cannot do. It's all right. I met people at ballparks before, and they got one kid playing over here and one kid playing over there and a kid playing over there, and they just going like this. And they're going back and forth. Oh, that's draining. You love all those kids, but it's draining. The third thing we see from this passage, and we're closing. The counsel of the Lord refreshes our faith and passion for Christ. The counsel of the Lord, listen, refreshes our faith and passion for Christ. See, the Lord is the compassionate counselor. Not only will He supply the physical things we need to help us rest and replenish, but He'll also give us the spiritual things we need to get us back on the road where our faith is restored and regenerated, and our bank is full again to go back out and do the things He's called us to do in the life that He has given to us. You see, a good counselor does this. First, the good counselor asks questions. He'll ask a question. So the Lord asks in verse 9, He says, Elijah, what are you doing here? So he's in the mountain. He had a good night's sleep over in the mountain too. And the Lord's word came to him. He says, what are you doing here? See, God was concerned about Elijah. And He wanted to show him some spiritual things now. He replenishes his mental and his physical. He helped him get back strong again. And now He wanted to worry about his soul. Sometimes we're so worried about the spiritual, we forget about the physical. We can learn a lesson here. God first addressed the sleep issue. Then He addressed the food issue to replenish, to build his physical body back up. And then He worried about the soul issue. Sometimes we want to get that in reverse. If you're tired and exhausted, ready to give up, listen, the counselor is wanting to hear from you. Find a place of solitude and pour out to God what you're experiencing, how it affects you, and your focus and your anxieties. He wants to hear from you. God is the counselor through His Holy Spirit. He wants to hear from you. You know what I've learned? This is a really neat thing. Do you talk to yourself? Nobody wants to admit it. You know that you can talk to God going down the road in your truck now, because everybody thinks that you're talking through Bluetooth. So nobody thinks you're crazy anymore. Because you know you can't have your phone up here anymore. You shouldn't be texting. That's illegal. But you can sure talk through Bluetooth. They don't know that the Bluetooth is God. And that you can actually profess and talk to God in that place of solitude, just riding down the road and saying, Lord, this is what I'm going through. This is what I'm experiencing. And you just pour it out, because He's the great counselor and He wants to hear from you. The second thing we see in verse 10 is that God listened to him. God heard him. You see, verse 10 says, he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They tore down your altars. They put to death your prophets with the sword. And I'm the only one left. And I can imagine Elijah was in tears. And now they're trying to kill me, God. I've done all these things for you. And look, they're trying to kill me now. See, he's the grand counselor. He doesn't take it personal. He's the master. He's listening for what you're going through. When you pray, listen, you don't have... So people say, well, I don't know how to pray. You just open up and let her fly. You just tell God exactly what you're going through. And He doesn't care the words that you use. He doesn't care how big they are or how small, how simple, how complicated. He's not looking for formality. He's looking for your heart, and He's looking for you to be praying in faith. When Elijah was praying right here, I think he had just about this much faith left. Because he tells God all these, God, I've been zealous for you. I've been doing all these things, and Lord, look at me. They're still trying to kill me. God listened to Elijah's feelings and his concerns. This godly man saw so much, and he God addressed the physical, God addressed the things he was going through, and now he's trying to address the emotional and the spiritual, the faith of Elijah. And God listened patiently and lovingly. Elijah had gotten so low physically, emotionally, mental, and spiritual that he'd forgotten the miraculous and supernatural God that he served. We can get like that too. God can do so many amazing things in our life. And he can bless us in extraordinary ways. Yet when we're tired, when we're burnt out, when we've had enough, we forget all the things God has already done. Because we start looking at the mountain, we start looking at the problems ahead and say, God, I want out. I can't do it. We forget what God's already done. Elijah was like, we can forget that God has the deliverance power to see us through whatever situation we are in. Our souls and our faith need to be refreshed and inspired, ignited with passion and power and fervor to carry on in the power of the Holy Spirit of this life. And listen, the only way that we can do that is we refresh our bodies, refresh our minds, refresh our souls, refresh our emotions, and pour out to God exactly what we're going through, and God will respond. The next thing, see, the Lord responded to Elijah. God heard the concerns and the complaints of Elijah. Now he's ready to answer him. Over in verse 11, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord's going to pass by. You just hear the love in that. See, Elijah had a little homework to do. So when you go see a counselor, you're going to have some homework to do. Elijah still had to get up and go to the end of the mountain. See, God is reminding Elijah who he serves in power and might, yet also in tenderness and compassion. So what did God do? God sent this powerful wind like a hurricane through there. And it ripped the mountain apart. It shattered rocks, all of these things before the Lord, just tore trees up. Can you imagine Elijah sitting there in the mouth of that cave? But the Lord wasn't in that. So much power. Then there was an earthquake, and the mountain began to shake. And I'm sure Elijah's feet was, doing the two-step, He was dancing. He was the earthquake. Things around him falling. The Lord wasn't in that. And the Bible says, then a fire came and just devoured up all those broken down trees and everything around him. Fire fell. The Bible says the Lord wasn't in there. When all that power ceased, a still, small voice for Elijah to hear. Verse 13. Says, when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood in the mouth of the cave. And the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Oh, listen. We have to see what God did. God didn't preach a sermon to him. God didn't beat him over the head and say, where have you been? You hadn't been serving. What's all this? You tired. You think you're tired? You ought to try to keep up with my job. He didn't say all that. God lovingly restored him and reminded him of who he served. You talk about a faith builder, that just for Elijah, just for this one man, God did all of that to show him how much love he had for him, how much power, how that call was still powerful in his life. And he reminded him, look, I fed you, I restored you, here you are, you still serving me. I'm reinstating you back into the ministry. I'm sending you back out there now. What a faith builder to see what God has done. Now his eyes were back opened, and God spoke to him very softly, very lovingly. Oh, today, listen, God may not tear up the mountain in your life. He may not have an earthquake for you, like we think of earthquake. He may not have the rapid fire across the mountain. But he'll show you things in your life that he's already done and what he can do and will do to restore your faith, to restore your soul, for that tired faith that you have been struggling with. He's listened to you. You've poured it out. It's amazing how pouring it out, we're now empty to receive it back in. And God filled him back up, empowered him to go out and do. And he says, what are you doing here? In other words, Elijah, it's time to get back to work. Elijah, I have some more things for you to do. In the following verses, he sent him out to go even get Elisha, who was going to be the one who follows after him. Hannah Smith said it this way, no soul can be really at rest until it has given up all dependence on everything else and has been forced to depend on the Lord alone. As long as our expectation is from other things, nothing but disappointment awaits us. Elijah learned very quickly that he was to depend upon God alone. God provided for him his food, his water, his shelter. God provided for him everything and restored his soul. Elijah was now ready to go back to work. Maybe today you're just struggling because you're tired, you're wore out, maybe just burnt out, and you're ready to give up. You're ready just to throw in the towel. God wants to do some things for you, but you're gonna have to work with him in partnership. You've got to stop for a little while. You've got to take a day off and make it a true day off. Don't fill it up with doing other things, running errands here. No. You just stay at the house, go to the woods, if you go to the camp, don't go to the camp to cut the grass. You're working. Just take a day off, chill, and allow God to replenish you. It's not wasted time. We've bought into this idea if we're not doing something, we're wasting time. No, it's one of the most valuable segments of time you will spend. Just replenishing who you are, getting back in touch with you and touch with your Savior who has placed you in the life that you have for a purpose and for a reason. Let's pray together. Father God, today we thank you for this opportunity. God, we thank you that we can hear, Lord, that even Elijah went through things simply because he was exhausted. And Father, I know that there are Christians who are simply tired today who need a fresh filling from you. Help them, Lord, to be courageous and just get some rest, replenish their bodies, spend some time with you, not doing more stuff, but doing nothing at all. In your name we pray. Amen.